Welcome to Rambam on the Line. We're up to Perek Shnimatzer, the 12th chapter of Hilchas Isur HaBiyah. Halacha Aleph. Yisrael Shabal Goya Mishar HaUmos, a Jew who cohabited with a non-Jewish woman of any of the other nations, Derech Ishus, in the manner of marriage, he married her, O Yisrael Shnivlo L'Goy Derech Ishus, or a Jewish woman who cohabited with a non-Jew in the manner of marriage, Re'el Elokim in a Torah, they are flogged by Torah law, as it says, do not intermarry with them. No, don't give your daughter to his son. And don't take his daughter for your son. Both the seven nations who inhabited the land of Israel, as well as all the nations of the world, are included in this prohibition. And so it says explicitly, in the book of Ezra, we will not give our daughters to the people of the land, and we will not take their daughters for our sons. And there it was not talking specifically about the seven nations, the Canaanites. It's talking about Ammonites and Moabites, others, and it's prohibited. And other nations as well, and it's prohibited. The Torah prohibition is only marriage. If one cohabits with a non-Jewish woman in a manner of harlotry, that is to say, outside of marriage, he gets flogged by rabbinic law. It's forbidden because he might come and marry her. If he sets her aside for a regular illicit relationship, so he's liable because of nida, she's considered the tumah of a menstruant woman, and because she's also considered like a maidservant, Mishum Goya, and because she's considered a non-Jew, she is a non-Jew, but it's another prohibition, Mishum Zona, and because of a harlot. If he didn't set her aside, especially to have this ongoing affair, but it just happened, in a Chayvel Mishum Goya, then the violation is the one of the not having a relationship with a non-Jewish woman. All of these violations are of a rabbinic nature. This applies that it's rabbinic when the man who cohabited was an Israelite. A Kohen who has a sexual relation with a non-Jewish woman, he is flogged by Torah law because it's considered a harlot. And that applies both to a non-Jewish and a Jewish harlot. Just the cohabitation itself makes him liable for flogging. Shreina bas kedusha, because she's not, it's not possible to betroth her, and there's no betrothal necessary for the violation to take place. Anyone who cohabits with a non-Jewish woman, whether through marriage or in a non-marital way, in bala b'farhesia, if he publicly cohabits with her, and that's defined as having relations with her in the presence of 10 Jews, or yes, or more. Pogabo kanayim v'aguhu, if zealous people attack him and kill him, they are praiseworthy, and they acted quickly. This is a teaching from oral tradition that Moshe received at Mount Sinai. By the Davazah, proof of this matter is Ma'aseh Pinchas b'Zimri, the incident of Pinchas b'Zimri when he killed them during the act. Therefore, the zealous person is not allowed to kill them except during the actual act, as was the case of Zimri. Shinemar, as the pasuk says, Velisho Kavasa, the woman into her belly. Avlam Perish, once they've separated in Harganoso, you can't kill him. Mahargo Nargalov, should he then kill the man who had the relation with the non-Jew, the killer would be liable to death. He has no right to kill him. If the zealous person comes to ask the court for the permission to kill the man, they do not tell him to do so. Even if it's in the middle of the act. If the zealous one comes to kill the cohabitor, and the cohabitor escaped or turned aside and killed the zealous person tried to kill him, he will have to last from the other in order to save his own life. And Abol Naragolov, the man who cohabited would not be killed for killing the zealot who wanted to kill him, because even though he had a right to kill him, but still, it's not a judicially sanctioned thing in a way. It's something the Tsar sanctions, but on the other hand, the one who he wanted to kill, ironically, we would say he has a right to defend himself, and even if he wound up killing the zealot, he would not be punished. If one has a relationship with the daughter of a Ger Toshev, that is a non-Jew who accepts the seven Noahide commandments, the zealous ones may not kill him, but he is still flogged by rabbinic law. If a man who cohabited with a non-Jewish woman was not killed by the zealots or flogged by the Beis Din, his punishment is explained in the tradition of the prophets, and the punishment is that he gets kares, cut off. As it says, Ki chilel Yehuda Kodesh Hashem, Yehuda has desecrated the Holy One of God that he loved, and he has cohabited with the daughter of a strange god. Yachus Hashem Leisha Sheyasena Erviona. May Hashem totally, or Hashem will totally uproot the man who does this. If he is an Israelite, he will have no wise people among the sages, no one who is wise and can respond in study of Torah. If he's a Kohen, he will have no one who will offer offerings to Hashem. In the Lamadat of him, here you learn, one who cohabits with a non-Jew, it is as if he would have married an idol, or intermarried with an idol. He has cohabited with the daughter of a strange god. So the strange god is his father-in-law, in a sense. V'diku mechal kodesh Hashem. He's called desecrating the holiness of Hashem. Zayin oven zeh afu pishin bo mitzvah bezdin, al yikal b'necha. Listen, although there is no punishment by the court that he's put to death, it shouldn't be light in your eyes. Yesh v'hem shishin b'chol arayis kamoso. There is a negative factor in this sin that no other forbidden relationship has. Sh'abei min ha'eva b'nohu l'chol davar. Because a child born of a prohibited relationship is his son in all respects. And he's Jewish. Even if he's a mamzer, illegitimate. The son from the Gentile woman is not his son. As it says, he will turn aside your son from me. He removes him from being after God. This son is not part of God's people anymore. He's not Jewish. This matter causes us to cleave to the nations that Hashem separated us from, and it makes us turn away from Hashem and desecrate Him. A non-Jew who cohabits with a Jewish woman, if she's married, he's put to death. If she's not, he is not. Israelite who cohabited with a non-Jew, whether she is a minor of 3 years and up, whether she is an adult, whether she is unmarried, whether she is married, even if the Jew was a minor of 9 years and a day and up, Kevin Shabbalagoy Bezodon, since he purposely cohabited with a non-Jew, she is then put to death. Because a Jew sinned through her. For Bahamia, this is the same rule that applies if a man cohabits with an animal where the animal is put to death because it caused the forbidden cohabitation. This law explicitly says in the Torah, these Moabite women caused sin to the children of Israel in the matter of Bilam. The Chalish Isha, because the Jews had forbidden relations with them. Therefore, any woman who has had relations with a man shall be put to death. Slaves who were immersed in the mikveh in order to become slaves of Jews accepted upon themselves those mitzvahs that are obligatory upon slaves. They are no longer non-Jews, but neither are they Jewish. They're not Gentiles, nor are they Jewish. A maidservant is forbidden to a free Jew, whether it's his maidservant or anyone else's. And one who cohabits with a maidservant is flogged by rabbinic law. Because it explicitly says in the Torah that a master can give a female non-Jewish slave to his Hebrew slave, and she's permitted. It says, if his master gives him a wife. So the Rambam holds that it's not forbidden by Torah law. Now the sages didn't forbid this in the case of a Hebrew slave. The only condition which the Torah says is a flogging administered to one cohabiting with a maidservant is if she's betrothed to a man. And that means she's half freed and she's partially betrothed to a free man. Kamo Shabran, as we've explained previously. Let the sin not be light in your eyes, even though there is no flogging by Torah law. This also causes the son to turn away from Hashem. Because the child of a maidservant is a slave and not a Jew. This causes the holy seed to be desecrated and makes them into slaves. Unclus, the translator of the Torah, included the prohibition of a male or female slave included in the prohibition of there shall be no male or female prostitutes. One who cohabits with a maidservant, even publicly and even during the act, the zealots cannot kill him. Or if he married a maidservant in a locum in a Torah, he doesn't get flogged by Torah law, because from the time she immersed and accepted the mitzvah, she's no longer considered a Gentile. There was a mix-up between the child of a Jewish woman and of a maidservant. Both of them are in doubt. Both of these children are possibly slaves. So we forced the master of the maidservant to free both of them. And therefore the child is freed and he's Jewish. If one of the children was the master of the other, in other words, the owner of the slave died, and this child was his child, and it is now the heir of the slave. When they grow up, they should free one another, because we don't know which is which. If you return love of a call, and then they can intermarry with the regular Jew. So the mix-up was girls. They're both in doubt that they may be maidservants. So if one cohabits with either of them, the child would be a questionable slave. Similarly, if there's a mix-up between the child of a non-Jew and of a Jewish woman, humorous both of them to be converts, and each one of them is a possible convert, as opposed to being a born Jew, if you don't know. All of the nations, should they convert and accept upon themselves all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, or a slave who is freed, they are Jews in all respects. That there should be one law to all of the congregation. They can immediately intermarry with the Jewish people. And that means that the convert or the freed slave can marry a Jewish woman, or the a Jewish man can marry a convert or a freed maidservant. There's an exception of four nations. The four nations of Ammon, Moab, Egypt, and Edom. Should one of these member of one of these nations convert, he is considered Jewish in all respects except for one thing: intermarriage. And what is the law as far as marrying into the congregation? Ammon and Moab are always forbidden to marry with regular Jews. This prohibition applies to the males, but not to the females. It says, an Ammonite or a Moabite should not come into the congregation of Hashem. There's a tradition from Mount Sinai that Moshe received, that a male Ammonite and a male Moabite is forbidden forever to marry a Jewish woman. To the Ben Badal, even his grandson, until the end of all generations, the end of all time. But an Ammonite and a Moabite woman are permitted immediately just like the members of any other nation. An Egyptian or an Edomite, both male and female, are forbidden for the first generation and the second generation. They may not intermarry with the Jew. However, the third generation is permitted. As it says, the children that are born to them, the third generation, can come into the congregation. Chav mitzvah mabash and gaira. If an Egyptian woman was pregnant and converted, b'no sheni, her son is considered second generation, and his child would be permitted. Mitzvah sheni shenasa mitzvah rishon, mitzvah rishon shenasa mitzvah shniya. Second generation Egyptian who married a first generation Egyptian woman, or mitzvah rishon shenasa mitzvah shniya, or a first generation Egyptian man who married a second generation Egyptian woman. In other words, in the first case, the man is second generation, the woman is first, and the second, the man is first, the woman is second. Havlat sheni, the offspring is a considered second generation. Shneimer banim she'yivaldu, the pasuk says the children that will be born to them. Hakasuv talan b'leida, the pasuk makes it dependent on birth, and for birth you need both a father and a mother. And therefore, if one of them is a first generation, then the child would be considered a second generation Egyptian. Halacha chavalov, geramani shnasa mitzvah of ladamoni. A Ammonite male convert who married an Egyptian woman, the child is considered an Ammonite. Ger mitzvah shnas amonis of lad mitzvah. A male Egyptian convert who married an Ammonite woman, the child is considered an Egyptian. So, klal, this is the rule. Be'umus halach achar zachar. The determination of the nation, you determine, it goes by the male. Niskairu, in other words, if there were non-Jews, when they married, how do you consider the offspring, Egyptian or Ammonite? So he says you go by the father. Nizgairo halach achar apachas. If they converted, you go after the worst one. So this is why the Ammoni father and the Mitzris mother, it becomes an Ammoni. Mitzri father and an Ammonis mother becomes a Mitzri, because an Ammonis, the woman, is not a prohibition. So it becomes the worst one, which in that case would be the Mitzri. Chabez, Vishnu's guy, Mishiv Amamim, and a sermon at Torah Lava Bakal of one of the seven nations who originally inhabited Israel, converts, and not forbidden by Torah law from intermarrying. The Davar Yadush, and his guy, Ram Alagavonim, it's known that the only ones who converted of them were the Givonites. The Yeshua Gazalem, she Yotum Lava Bakal, and Yeshua decreed they should be forbidden to intermarry with the Jewish people, Echad Chan Vachnekevus, both males and females. Vlato, Samal Basan Shish Migdash, the prohibition of Yeshua was only in the time of the temple. There were choppers of water, choppers of wood, and drawers of water for the house of my God. The prohibition was dependent on the time of the temple. They're called Nesinim, the given ones. He gave them to the service of the Beit HaMikdash. David then decreed that they should never intermarry. Even when there should be no temple. From the Nesinim that David and the princes gave to serve the Levites. So you see that it is not dependent on the Beit HaMikdash. Why did David and his court decree the prohibition upon Givonites? He saw the cruelty that they had. When they asked to hang the seven sons of Shaul, the chosen one of Hashem, they had no compassion on them. When Sennacherib, king of Assyria, arose, he mixed up all of the nations, and he mixed them with one another. He exiled them from their place. The present-day Egyptians are other people. And the present-day Edomites who are in the land of Edom. Since the four prohibited nations were mixed among all of the permitted nations, how would they call? So all of the non-Jews are permitted to intermarry once they convert. Anyone who separates from the non-Jew and decides to convert, we assume it comes to the majority of non-Jews who are not among the forbidden nation list. Nowadays, if a convert converts anywhere, then Edomi, ben Mitzi, ben Ammoni, ben Moavi, ben Cushi, ben Shalomus, whether an Edomite, an Egyptian, an Ammonite, a Moabite, an Ethiopian, or any other nation, both males and females, that they're immediately permitted to marry within the Jewish community.